Hi folks, this is Bart from BartB.ie, back again for part 17 of my Introduction to the Terminal series here on the Typical Mac User Podcast. Last time I'd promised that we'd talk about DNS this time. Since it's a fairly meaty subject, I think I'm just going to get stuck straight in. First off, what's the point? What does it do? The whole point of the domain name system, or DNS, is to turn things that humans can remember, i.e. domain names, names you're all very familiar with, into IP addresses, which is what computers use to actually talk to each other across the internet. An analogy you often hear used is that it's like the phone book. In a phone book, you take names and you turn them into phone numbers that you actually use to call people on the telephone. In the DNS system, you take human-readable domain names and turn them into IP addresses that computers use to actually talk to each other. The analogy is very imperfect because in actual fact, the domain name system is much more powerful, but also more complicated than a simple phone book. The domain name system is hierarchical. So that means that you have domains and you have subdomains of those domains. So at the very top level, we have what are called the top-level domains, or TLDs. And these are things you're familiar with, very many of them anyhow. Probably the most famous one, and an entire bubble was called after it, or boom, depending on how you want to term it, is com. Another big important one would be gov, edu, biz is quite popular these days. Countries are also entitled to their own top-level domains. So here in Ireland, we have IE, as in bartb.ie. In Belgium, we have BE, France, FR, Germany, DE. Every country in the world is entitled to one of these. Some of them happen to be quite cool, like .tv belongs to a little country somewhere whose name I can't actually remember. It's an island, though. And Montenegro has .me. Within these top-level domains, we then have subdomains, and within those, we have subdomains. And you can nest ad infinitum. There's absolutely no reason to have any limits whatsoever. The important thing is that authority for who actually gets to decide what actual servers are at typicalmacuser.com or whatever, that's all done in a top-down approach. So at the very, very core of the domain name system are a bunch of servers that are scattered across the entire planet. They are probably the most protected servers in the entire world. They're called the root domain name servers, or sometimes just referred to as the root servers. These are the servers that specify which DNS servers are responsible for each of the top-level domains. So every domain and every subdomain is managed by a domain name server, which runs the, which has authority over its section of the tree. So at the very, very root of the tree, you have the root servers, and they say which servers are responsible for .com, which servers are responsible for .edu, which servers are responsible for .gov, etc., etc., etc. Then those servers issue out authority on little subsections. So the .com server would say that there's another server that's responsible for, say, the typical Mac user subdomain. And then that name server that's responsible for that subdomain, it would then have authority to say that www.typicalmacuser.com is a certain IP address. So you have the root servers who say which DNS servers are responsible for each of the top-level domains. Those DNS servers say which DNS server is responsible for each of their subdomains. And then those DNS servers actually tell you what the different IP addresses are within that range. And you could keep going down deeper and deeper and deeper. There's no reason you can't have subdomains. Each level passing on authority to another DNS server further down the chain. So what defines that, there's basically, DNS is just a bunch of records. That's all DNS is. And there's a very, very large amount of records it can hold. But for our purposes, for making the internet go, there are four types of record. There is an NS record, which defines the name server for a domain. So the NS record for typicalmacuser.com will specify which server has authority over anything.typicalmacuser.com. The next type of record is something called an A record, and that simply maps a name to an IP address. So there will be an A record, which will map www.typicalmacuser.com to an IP address, most probably. I haven't actually checked, but there probably is. The other very, very important type of record there is in DNS is something called a mail exchanger record, or MX record. And that says which mail server is responsible for a certain domain. So the DNS server that manages typicalmacuser.com also issues an MX record, which says that anyone trying to send email to any email address at typicalmacuser.com needs to send that email to this IP address, and that will be the mail server that happens to serve email for Victor. And then there's one last type I'm going to tell you about, and that's called a CNAME record. And all a CNAME is basically an alias. So a CNAME simply says that if you go to, say, www1.something or other, you if that address is looked up, you actually need to go and look up this other address instead. It's just an it's effectively an alias CNAME. So we have NS records that specify who the name server is in charge of a domain. We have A records that specify an actual mapping from a name to an IP address. We have MX records that specify where email for a particular domain should be sent. And then we have CNAME records that basically act as aliases. And that's what holds DNS together. Based on what I've told you so far, it's probably clear that the sequence to find the IP address for www.typicalmacuser.com is a multi-step process. The first step is that your DNS server, which you're asking the question, where is typicalmacuser.com, goes to the root server and says, hello, please give me the IP addresses for the DNS servers for the com top-level domain. Gets given those by the root servers, then it contacts the com name servers, one of the com name servers, and says, can you give me the address of the name server for typicalmacuser.com? And the com server replies with the IP address of the DNS server for typicalmacuser.com. Then the name server contacts that DNS server and says, can you give me the IP address for typicalmacuser.com and or for www.typicalmacuser.com? And then that DNS server finally answers with the answer. So it's actually quite an involved process. And that's why these kind of servers are often called resolvers, because that's what they do. They go through the step, till they resolve the answer, and it's quite complicated. This would put a large amount of strain on a lot of servers, particularly the root servers and the TLD name servers. So in order to prevent the entire thing collapsing, there's an extra complication. And that complication is that the DNS servers cache. What does it mean that they cache? Well, it means that they just remember all the answers they've looked up before. And if they get asked a question they already know the answer to, they simply give the same answer again. Now, how long a domain is cached is actually determined by the name server responsible for that domain. They put out a time to live on every answer they give. So normally that's set to 24 hours. So if the time to live is set to 24 hours, it means that for the next 24 hours, name servers aren't going to bother looking up the answer again. At any point, they're just going to cache it and keep it. This has the effect that when you make a change to DNS settings, they are not instant, because every cached answer in that chain that we described holds you back. And so it can take, depending on settings, it can take 24 to 72 hours for a domain to fully propagate its way through that entire chain that you're going through to get to your real answer. So that's why it can be slow to resolve DNS. Okay, that's all the theory out of the way. We have a little bit of time left, so let's get back into our commands. I gave you the simplest command last week, host. And the host command is actually very powerful, despite being very simple. So simply host, space, and then the name you want to look up. So let's do a little example, and this is an example I've chosen carefully, and you'll see why as we go into it. So the example is actually quite appropriate. It's typicalmacuser.com. So open your terminal, type host space www.typicalmacuser.com. You'll see this is given a number of lines, and the reason it's given a number of lines is because there's actually quite a bit of stuff going on here. So the first thing we see is that www.typicalmacuser.com is an alias for typicalmacuser.com. That's a CNAME record. Then the next line is typicalmacuser.com has address 68.178.254.63. That's an A record. Typicalmacuser.com mail is handled by 0smtp.secureserver.net, and then another line after it specifying another mail server. So what that says is that the email address, all email addresses at typicalmacuser.com should be sent to that server. And in fact, there's two servers specified, and they will be contacted in order of priority. So if the first server dies in a heap, you send it to the second server. So that's an example of three of the four different types of domain record all in one go. Sometimes, though, you want to do a little more. And this is why I'm going to talk about one more very important command. It's a simple command, but the output is very detailed. And if you're trying to debug what's going on with DNS, it's very helpful. I use this an awful lot when I'm dealing with waiting for domain names to propagate based on these kind of, you know, on this sort of slow propagation level, just to make sure that everything's right before I actually can see the results for real. The problem you have is that when you make a change on the server, you don't instantly see it because it takes up to 24 to 72 hours to propagate. So how can you be sure you've made the change right? Well, one way you can be sure you've made the change right is to ask a specific DNS server for the answer. Not to wait for your DNS server to finally get the cached answer through its big chain of resolving, but go straight to the horse's mouth and ask the actual DNS server for your domain what it now thinks the answer is to the question that, you know, you've just... So to do this, we use what is the Uber command for anything DNS related. It's called dig. At its simplest level, it will do the same as host, but give you a lot more information. So you would type dig space a domain name. Let's do a new example. Let's try dig space www.bartb.ie. Hit return, and you'll notice that a lot more text has gone by this time. The first thing, it tells you sort of some header information that isn't really all that interesting. It basically tells you who is doing the querying. In this case, it's dig, what version it is, some basic low-level program information that isn't really all that interesting. Then you have the question section, which specifies in detail what it is you're looking for. You would like to know the IP address of BartB.ie on the internet. You'll always see in and all of these things. DNS can be used for many, many things other than actual IP addresses, but we're not talking about that. For our purposes, everything is always in for internet. So the question section says www.bartb.ie.tab-tab-tab-in-tab-a. So I want an IP address, please. The next thing below that will be the answer section. So it says that www.bartb.ie. Is in an A record 70.38.18.241. And then below that you get some statistics. The most interesting part of those statistics is probably which server actually answered your question, which in this case was my router, which is a caching DNS server. So 192.168.2.1. Now let's spice it up a little. Let's see something a little more powerful with this command. So first off, you may want to know what my mail server is. Now, you could have used the host command and it would have given it to you straight away. So you could, but let's imagine you were only using dig. So you type dig space bartb.ie space mx. That's interesting. But what's very interesting is that you can actually find out what my name servers are. So you can type dig space bartb.ie space ns. That says, please give me the name of the servers responsible for the domain bartb.ie. And when you do that, you find out that there are two name servers responsible for my domain, ns1.panelboxmanager.com and ns2.panelboxmanager.com. So now let's actually ask the horse's mouth. Now, if I were to make a change to my domain, this is what I would do to make sure I'd made the change correctly. I would type dig, and then what I wanted to look up, let's say www.bartb.ie, and then I would type in the at sign followed by the DNS server I want to query. So dig space www.bartb.ie space at ns1.panelboxmanager.com. And when I do that, I get back my question section, my answer section, and this time I get something a little more, because this is the authoritative name server for my domain, so it also gives me back an authority section, which tells me that this is actually an authoritative name server, and also what the other authoritative name server is for my domain. So if I had made a change, it wouldn't yet have propagated if I used the host command, but if I were to query that actual server directly, I would see what it is that's now starting to slowly propagate its way through the internet. And that's very important, because if you get it wrong, you won't know for 24 to 72 hours, and then it'll take another 24 to 72 hours to fix it. And you don't really want to have your domain down for too long. So it makes a lot of sense to actually just double check that you have actually said it correctly and that the right thing is slowly making its way across the internet over the next 1 to 3 days. So that's why I use the dig command an awful lot. So, as I say, there's a lot of theory in this episode, but two very powerful commands, host and dig. Apologies for running a little long. Victor likes me to keep these at 10 minutes. We're now at over 13. But no matter how hard I tried, and I did re-record this quite a few times, I can't get something as complicated as DNS into 10 minutes. So apologies, Victor. I hope I haven't confused people. I hope I've helped people understand what's going on. If not, please send feedback to Victor. I'm happy to answer questions. And I'm happy to have another go at explaining stuff if I lose people along the way. Since I'm apologising for going long, I should probably stop recording at this stage and say, until next time, happy computing.